Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you.
It's executive time. This better be important.
Good morning, President Trump.
Hey, good morning, Cheese and BJ.
Hey,
close.
Talk to me again.
Yes.
I'll have you know I snubbed another station just to talk to you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
I Adam Sandler'd those losers.
Look at that. See that?
I really did.
The LSU Clemson championship game the other night. You were there. It seemed like the crowd was good to you.
Very nice crowd. So nice. I mean, they were cheering for me a lot. I actually think they wanted me to suit up and quarterback for a couple of possessions. You know, and the waitress in our suite was very nice, too. She delivered my nachos and Diet Coke without spilling any of it.
Did you know who was going
to... You know what? I saw Vince Vaughn, too. Did you see me talking to him?
I saw that.
That was big.
He kept saying how my presidency is so money. And in the most platonic way, he kept calling me baby, like every 4 seconds.
Nice.
I think we have a bromance going right now.
Did you have a feeling as to who was going to win the game before it started?
You know, it was just as I predicted. The Tigers won.
See,
I'm the Nostradamus.
Right.
I'm the Nostradamus.
I predicted
of sports
that, too. Predictions.
See that? Look
Isn't
at that.
Isn't that crazy?
The Tigers win, yes.
But it is great to see LSU get that win. You know, they had such a tremendous season. Not only that, they also get to come to the White House and enjoy the absolute finest top-notch quarter pounders and chicken McNuggets with their choice of dipping sauce.
Oh.
Now, Clemson, sorry, guys. No back-to-back Big Macs for you guys. Bunch of losers.
The Senate impeachment trial is starting next week. What do you think? Are you excited about that?
Is that crap still going on?
Apparently,
yes.
Yeah.
Boy, nasty Nancy Pelosi stretched that out like a pair of granny panties. In all fairness, that is so
visual.
2019, guys. Yeah. Okay? Can we move on from the impeachment? I have a lot more important things to think about.
Like?
For instance, later today I'm going to be meeting with the Joint Chiefs of Staff to discuss ways to handle Iran's newest ally.
Who is that?
The Democrats.
Former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg spending big bucks. I think $10 million just on the Super Bowl, right?
I can't wait to see what he comes up with. I heard it's going to feature Mini Mike on a Budweiser Clydesdale, and people are going to love it because he's their favorite jockey that's ever run in the Kentucky Derby. You see, because he's short.
Right.
He's very short.
Right.
I totally got that.
The visual, yep.
All right. Well, thank you for checking in.
Hey, stay huge, Chaz and AJ.
Two cases of horrific murder in Connecticut. We're going to talk about both of them here. First, there were developments in the Fotostulis case yesterday. A bunch of documents were released, and on the phone now, Attorney Norm Pattis. Give us the bullet points of yesterday's developments, please.
Yesterday, the court released, for the first time, approximately 50 search warrants related to the Dulos case. The overwhelming majority of them related to cell tower data dumps and searches of phones and electronic communications like Google Maps and so forth. There were a few isolated comments, several of them damaging to Mr. Dulos, one coming from the nanny who claims to have witnessed some act of domestic violence where Mr. Dulos tried to run Jennifer down with a car and chased her through the house. And I woke up this morning to hear that. Last night, Access Hollywood called and wanted to talk about something else. It's though as out of these 467 pages, people zero in on the bad news. But here's what I'd like folks to focus on. The state obtained in a warrant dated, I believe, May 30th, a copy of the family relations study in the family court. Now, that is a confidential document, and I'm barred from talking about it. I am asking the state to release that document to the public. What that document will show is that Fotis Dulos was winning the custody battle. And if there were anything to the claims that he was violent toward his wife, which we deny, he would not have been winning that claim. So it is extremely frustrating for me to sit back and watch this complex record cherry-picked so that every inference, every possible inference, is drawn against Mr. Dulos. I'm requesting that the state release the family relations custody study by Dr. Herman.
If the study wasn't finished, how do you know he was winning?
I'm calling on the state to release that study to the public. You know, I mean, I have read the study. I am barred from the state has it. It knows the backstory here. I'm calling on the state to release that study. If you look, Chaz, at the way this case has evolved, when the state first started filing charges, they claimed that the evidence was that this was to resolve the divorce, that Mr. Doulas's motive was to financial crime, and walked away from that claim. Why? I suspect the only reason is they read the family relations study. Mr. Doulas had no motive to kill Jennifer, period. And, you know, to suggest that you know, the nanny's claim that he chased her through the house, I mean, that is ridiculous. We got a call about some claim from Mr. Mawinney's wife that she feared that Fotis and Mr. Mawinney wanted to cause her harm. I mean, this is the sort of garden variety garbage that clogs the family courts, and I don't think it should be clogging the nation's airwaves. Not at a pivotal time like this, where the battle lines are being drawn in a charge of murder. We categorically deny these claims, and we are eager to get into a court.
All right. Thank you, Norm.
Yep.
All right. I don't want to argue with my friend on the air, but
no.
I don't know. If you read any of this, it seems like he had a motive. Just saying.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about this other case. That was a surprise call from Norm. He just called up during a commercial break.
Oh, really?
Okay. Said, hey, yeah, we're never going to say no.
Nice.
To something that's a big story in Connecticut.
Right.
Have you followed any of this case out of Colchester?
Yes.
A dad arrested after wife, kids, dog found dead in a Disney-developed home.
Right.
Now, this is a guy from Colchester, Connecticut, was a physical therapist. His wife, also a physical therapist. They shared, you know, they both worked at his practice together. Three kids, a dog. Run the practice, very involved in the community, basically living the American dream. Late last year, they moved to Florida to this Disney neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's one of these Disney neighborhoods out of a 1955 Disney movie where it's all perfect. It's Disney developed, and it's supposed to be the perfect neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Outside of Disney World. They move there, and then he's coming back here to see patients. Last month, it started to get weird. And let's bring in Attorney Maddox now to talk about. We'll let you pick it up from there.
Good morning.
Hey. Morning.
Thanks for inviting me on this morning. Yeah, I read about this case out of Florida and the connection to Colchester. Look, there are several things that jump out to me about how this unfolded. There are relatives who are calling the sheriff's department down in Florida, in Celebration, Florida, worried about this family. We haven't heard from them. One of the relatives called in and said, we're told that they have the flu, and the sheriff's department goes to the house and they supposedly knock on the door, they find the blinds drawn, they walk away. This happens at least on two separate occasions where the sheriff's department, in response to relatives' inquiries and worries about this family, they go to the house and they walk away, seeing no signs of or any reason to be concerned. That's strange. You know,
right, so if a cop does a welfare check and then doesn't see anyone or get a visual, they didn't really perform a welfare check,
they
right?
They attempted to, yeah.
That's exactly right. I mean, in Connecticut, a welfare check means there's somebody going into that house. A non-response to a knock on the door is not adequate. A welfare check means you've got to have contact with the resident of the home or get to the bottom of what's going on there. And they've gone there twice, right? Though, The dad, husband, who supposedly confessed to these murders, is a physical therapist, but he hung up his license to practice in September. What's he doing between September and, you know, January 15th, when federal authorities, along with the sheriffs, finally get into the house on a warrant? What's he doing all that time? Is he going back and forth to Colchester pretending to be practicing as a physical therapist?
Yeah, he saw a patient in November right before Thanksgiving.
Well, it's and yet unlicensed.
Right.
I didn't know he was unlicensed.
Well,
and then
I read,
come to find
correct,
out,
I believe I read that his license was relinquished or otherwise suspended in September.
And I heard that the attorney general's looking into him for false insurance claims or something
of that nature. Isn't that bizarre? That again, there are family who there's a Facebook page. What's something about what's happened to the Todd family, right? And there are people who are inquiring and really, really worried about these people. And yet it takes a financial crimes investigation weeks after apparently these people are murdered to get into the house. It is
so
bizarre.
Weird.
And then imagine this man who again supposedly confessed, he's in the house and he's in the house with corpses. It takes a very
wife,
short amount of
three kids,
me?
Dog, yeah. All dead.
Right.
And he's in this house when they come in the house and
for weeks.
Ugh.
It takes a day or two for it takes only a couple of hours for bodies to start to decompose. And then it takes, some number of hours after that for odors to be produced. And then, if you've ever smelled a corpse, it is a horrifying odor. It is an odor that sparks a severe fight or flight instinct in most people when you smell it. And this guy's in that house. And an odor like that, by the way, from one body, let alone three or four bodies, is going to permeate the entire house and probably get outside the house.
Right. There's so much to this story that doesn't really make sense. And
no.
I heard that family members were texting him, probably texting her,
right.
Not getting a response, then texting him like, hey,
sure.
Can we talk to her? And he was like, oh, they're opening presents right now.
Right. They're busy.
Yeah.
It's gruesome. It is just gruesome. And you've got to wonder what happened to this guy. So they according to an article, they had about $100,000 in business debts. They were probably on some type of financial stress.
Doesn't seem like a lot of money when you're a physical therapist. They can bill that in like a week now.
Exactly.
Right. And he's got two practices. Okay, so he learns he's under investigation, but we've defended these types of cases in our practice. This behavior, this guy just went through a psychotic break. Who knows what happened to him? But the image of him being in that home with his dead family, his three children, his wife, and the dog, right, for weeks,
right,
is just it's the stuff of a horror movie.
Yeah,
a horror movie in that neighborhood.
Yep.
Right.
Right. With a specifically designed to be like the dream,
right. Like happy
perfect
film.
American.
Right.
Yeah.
Celebration.
It's called Celebration.
Yeah.
Celebration, Florida.
Yeah.
Yippee-ki-yay. Let's all live and be happy and celebrate every day.
Man. I the more I hear about this, the more I'm like, what is wrong with people in Connecticut?
Seriously.
So he admitted to the cops as soon as they opened the door or he let them in that he killed his family. Now, after you do that, is there a trial or do we just say, okay, this is death row.
Right.
Welcome to your new suite.
Here you go.
Yeah. Well, after that, it's a question of a mental infirmity defense, right? Mental disease or defect defense. If it's a true confession, then the question becomes, is he mentally competent and can he confer enough with counsel to agree upon a mental disease or defect defense, or properly known as an insanity defense? Who knows what happens next with that?
Right. So even if he doesn't want an attorney, the state will appoint him one, right?
He'll definitely be appointed one, yes.
Okay. Wow. Hmm. Incredible. And people in Colchester are just shocked.
Yeah.
Did not see this one coming.
And right, and apparently they've, I think that they suspended school for a day, right? Or at least they're providing counselors to the kids in the schools there.
Yeah, pretty sick.
Horrible.
All right. Attorney Maddox, thanks for coming on. We're linked up to all things Attorney Maddox at WPLR.com. Tourists arrested after feces found in sacred area.
A sacred area? Besides a butt?
Six tourists being detained and investigated by the public ministry for the alleged crime against cultural heritage.
Oh, in deep doo-doo. You're in deep doo-doo.
The tourists were arrested Sunday after park rangers and police found them in a restricted area of the Temple of the Sun.
Oh.
Authorities had come across a fracture in a piece of stone that had broken off a wall and caused a crack in the floor.
Whoops.
Feces were found in the Temple of the Sun.
Wow. So the moon came out in the sun.
I don't know if that, does that mean that they pooped in the crack?
I guess so.
Or they pooped and then shoved it in the crack?
Right. Or they pooped so hard it caused a crack.
Hope not that one.
That's a hard poop.
I think everybody poops out of a crack. I don't know about in
the crack. I know you poop out of it.
Now from one crack to another.
See, now it's tough to do. You get extra points for that one. From crack to crack.
The six made up of one French, two Brazilian, two Argentines, and a Chilean.
They must have been pooped. Well, that Chile, you know.
They face at least 4 years in prison.
That made them poop some more.
How could they have thought that was where they were supposed to go?
Well, the bathroom.
Worshippers at the temple would make offerings to the sun.
Oh.
From the moon?
And apparently you can't. Apparently you can't give the sun any crap.
They take it very seriously there if you're looking at 4 years.
They really do, yeah.
In the can.
Exactly.
Paul in Wallingford.
Good morning. Love the show.
Thank you.
I'll give you a short version. I used to transport patients, and one day they asked me to come in on my day off. And I was bringing a gentleman inside, and I didn't ask for backup because the rules are more than three steps, and you have to call for backup.
It's an ambulance service?
Yeah, it's
okay.
A chair car. And the patient's son helped me, got him in, no problems, no big deal.
All right, there's
a week
the problem,
later,
right?
I get called from my boss
Fired.
And said that he refuses to pay the bill because he had to help you bring his father inside, and I got fired a week later.
Oops.
Don't you love them? Aren't they great?
Right. So I don't understand why I got fired if you didn't complain beforehand.
They saw the bill.
Yep. That's right. That's exactly what happened.
Yep, they said, I know what to do.
I'm not paying for this.
Yeah. They found a loophole.
He was being nice until he figured out how much it cost.
Right. And I was like, oh, hey,
for you to be there. It was only $75.
How much?
$75 for a one-way trip, and he refused to pay because he had to help me bring his own dad inside.
Right. Mm.
Hmm. And I don't
was it more than three steps?
No, it was only two steps.
Oh.
So you didn't have to have backup anyway?
To prove it.
So you didn't have to call for help, and you didn't ask him for help. He just helped.
No. I asked him if he would mind helping me.
I never asked that.
Well, I must confess, I can't understand why he wouldn't want to pay the $75 bill.
Yeah. Right. Because he's a
jerk.
Which can also explain why he complained.
Right.
Yeah.
Cheapskate.
Well, right. You know what? The same company got busted for double billing people for veterans, and you know Connecticut Handy Van was good.
I don't want to get into this.
No names.
Okay.
All right.
Have a good day.
All right, we're gonna put you in the running for the cheap trick tickets. Thank you, brother.
Right.
All right, Robert in East Lyme.
Yeah, I got fired for sleeping with my boss's wife.
Really?
For what?
Oh.
Sleeping with?
Your office,
now, were you sleeping? Actually sleeping?
No. It was on a Friday night. We went to a bar. She worked there. I did not know she was my boss's wife.
Wow.
Ended up going home with her. The next Monday morning, I came in. The boss called me in. I seen the picture of her on his desk. He asked me what happened. I told him, and he fired.
I mean, come on. You're working overtime.
Wow.
You should be happy.
And how long ago did this happen?
Oh, it's about 10 years ago.
Right.
Okay.
Still bragging about it?
And,
Was her name Dulos by any chance?
Wow.
How you get fired?
That joke, that was the sound of the joke falling flat.
Yes, right. Apparently it was.
Right.
Like lead.
Yeah. Holy cow. What did you, can I ask what you did? Not
profession.
With the wife,
not
the as a career.
I work for a phone company.
Phone company.
Oh wow.
Okay, installing cables after okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I did phone sales for a phone company.
And you're a salesperson apparently.
Yeah.
It was a big office. You know, I didn't you don't really know the head guy.
It's weird that he figured out it was you.
Office. Right.
It's so weird.
She probably
I suspect his wife had loose lips.
Yeah.
So to speak. Unusual.
Yeah.
I have a very unusual nickname.
So don't tell
him. She went back and said something to
him. Oh, brother.
Oh, I want to know what it is.
I met Stud Muffin.
No.
All right. You're in the running for the cheap trick tickets. Thank you. He didn't do anything wrong.
No.
He went to a bar, met a girl.
Right.
Did what happens sometimes.
Right. She didn't tell him.
But the important question is, why did she tell her husband at all?
Right.
Something was going on.
Yeah.
Right.
She was trying to make a point.
Exactly. Point well taken.
Shayna on the road.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Shayna. So I was fired because they found out my father was ill the same time I found out my father was ill. And they let me go because of that.
What kind of job was this?
I was a nanny.
All right. So you're a nanny. You find out your father's ill. It sounds like pretty serious, not like with a common cold.
Right.
Right? Something serious.
I found out he had cancer, and I walked in right off the phone, and they were all sympathy, and they were kindness, and they let me go home that day so I can, you know, compose myself. And after that, I never missed a day. Come to find out, that same exact day, they put out an advertisement for someone to replace me, and they replaced me a month later, and with a phone call, it was a text. They texted me saying they no longer required my services.
Wow, not even a phone call.
Oh, boy.
No, nothing.
How long were you a nanny?
I was working with them for over a year, and I knew that they were rich and entitled, but yeah. I didn't know that they were horrible. So.
Right. Did they give you a reason in the text?
No, nothing. But I looked back on the place I was hired, and the hour... they posted a new job opening with all the descriptions and nice things that I did with their child on the day that they found out, and I found out that my father was ill.
Good heavens. And they gave you no other reason at all.
Yeah, so they knew she was going to be distracted going to medical appointments.
They struck.
Maybe I was going to be emotionally compromised or distracted. So they didn't give me any reason. They just said, we'll no longer be requiring your services. And that's it.
That's pretty bad.
That is really.
That's like the lowest of the low.
My child has to get his own juice, for God's sake.
That's what?
My child has to get his own juice.
That's right. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That really is, man.
So does she have a case?
When did this happen?
This happened a while back. Years ago? A few years back. My father recently passed. But
sorry to hear that.
Thank you. I talked to a lawyer friend of mine who worked with employment law, and I would have had a case. I guess I could have pushed it, but they didn't give me a reason. It was just very obvious what the reason was.
Right. So your case would be proving that that's what it was for, and it's really hard to tell.
Almost impossible, but now your time's run out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They did you a favor. You were able to spend more time with your dad,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
But wow.
Yeah.
What dirtbag.
Sucks. Money.
Yeah. His firing made a headline in the Connecticut Post. Matthew.
What's up, guys?
Hey. How you doing? What happened?
Did you get my email?
No. I did not.
No.
I was going
to ask you what happened.
Just spit it out.
Did you get your note from Phil saying, get to the point?
Get to the point. Basically, I was the hearing officer for parking violations in Bridgeport.
Yeah.
And if you appealed a ticket and they denied it, you'd get a hearing and
right.
come sit with me and I would make a decision. So they stopped calling me because I was told I was giving too many away. So the headline of the Connecticut Post was fired for being too nice.
Oh, parking tickets. Judge says he was fired for being too nice. City disagrees. Just got it.
When did that happen?
March of 2013.
Oh, okay. It's been a while.
No.
By December 2017, the city was facing a massive backlog of parking ticket appeals from the then new and since replaced camera-equipped parking meters. The volunteer who presided over the...
I got fired from a volunteer position.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of effort.
You're going to get no money.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Not much you can do about it, though.
No.
Can I say, on behalf of everyone who's walked out to the car and got a ticket.
Right.
And it's just like, really, you're going to ding me for $25 for coming to your city to do business?
Right.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
You are nice.
For wanting to hear these people plead their cases.
Right. And the salary made last time, double it.
Yeah.
especially in Bridgeport where the parking meters don't work anyway most of the time.
They get stolen.
Yeah. Right. Was that some of the cases that came before you? Person would say, hey, the parking meter wasn't even working.
Wasn't there.
Yeah, some of them. I mean, these parking meter guys, they'll give you a ticket if you're a half inch over the curb. And people park over the curb because they don't want to get their mirrors taken off. The streets are so tiny here, they lose their mirrors left and right.
And the drivers suck. You
know. Yeah. That's tough to give a ticket for that.
I feel for the people.
What about, what was the, like, tell us a weird explanation or, you know, where you heard a case and you're like, all right, this guy's crazy.
Come on.
You know, I don't think I had any really, you know, one kid came in and just said, yeah, I was wrong, but I wanted to see if I could let it go.
Brutally honest.
The director
you're
broke.
Too nice. He's brutally honest. We're all good.
Did you?
Brutally honest. What's that?
Did you let him go?
No. I cut him in half for taking time out of his day.
Yeah, this is why you lost your
cut him in half. Now I understand why.
Yeah. Anyone who went in front of this judge got a deal.
Exactly.
It either went away or got cut down.
What do you do most of the time? What's your real job?
I'm a CPA.
Ah.
Yeah, good for you.
What little action.
I'm also a city councilman now in the city.
Wow. In Bridgeport?
Yes.
Yeah, well, don't go arrest anybody or kidnap them.
Why do you say that now?
Taylor did that, huh?
You got fired?
Well, Taylor, the Board of Ed member?
No, he was the Board of Ed.
What happened with that?
He went off and arrested some, pretended he was a cop and his wife, right? And they went up to Ansonia, I think, and kidnapped somebody.
Really?
Allegedly.
He's in deep trouble right now.
No, allegedly, yes.
No, you know what? I scroll through headlines and then I think, do I want to get involved?
Exactly.
Do I not want to get involved?
Which can of worms
do I
want to open?
Which can of worms do I want to open today?
Yeah.
I saw that one and I kept scrolling.
I'm going to get the other can.
But now I'm interested.
Well, get the can back over here.
All right, Board of Ed, what?
It's hysterical.
Yep.
Not for the person who is kidnapped.
No.
Did he know the person he kidnapped?
Yeah, I think so. And his wife went up and told them they were cops. They were arresting him.
Oh, okay.
But why?
I don't know why.
Phil, can you look this up? Do you know any details on this, Matt?
No comment on that one.
Gotcha. Okay, I got you.
Allegedly.
Yeah, he doesn't want to lose another gig.
No,
I know.
Yeah. I don't want to call next time Bob is on.
You were in the running for the Cheap Trick tickets. Thanks for hearing all those cases. I hate walking to my car and I see the ticket. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me?
Yep.
Yeah.
The walk of shame.
All right, exactly. I ran out of time 5 minutes ago. Were you waiting for it to click over?
Apparently so, yes.
They were.
Yes, they were.
Yeah, they just stand there.
Uh-huh.
I've walked out and they're writing the ticket as I walk out. I'm like, no, I'm here.
They're
I'm here.
Oh, too late.
Makes too late. No difference.
I correct their spelling.
Phil's looking at it.
That's H-O-L-E.
Our attorney Bob Mitchell is in the studio. He's an employment lawyer, so if you have a problem.
You got a problem?
Yeah, no matter what side. You could be the business. You could be the employee. You call him. And if you were wrong, he'll write it. Let's go to Bald Dave in Orange. Bald Dave
bald
in Orange.
Dave.
He's bald.
Bald
hey,
Dave
you
in
morning,
Orange.
Guys.
Are you a hair cutter?
Good morning.
Good morning. Love you guys. Love the show. And most of all, love your commitment to philanthropy. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you.
Anyway, real quick, I'll get to the point. I was a daytime bartender. My roommate was the busboy. Chaz, as you well know, I like my tequila from our trip to Vermont together. And we were out partying heavy one night and came in the next day and neither of us really wanted to work. It was one of those days where you walk behind the bar and just the smell of the booze made me sick. So I decided it would be a smart idea to make a sign that said closed for repairs and put it on the front door.
You were on before. Called once before.
That's innovative.
Have you called?
Isn't that you? You're the one that got fired twice in one day?
Yeah, that's me.
It's like a greatest hits, all right.
I remember that.
This is what you want in the courtroom, someone who remembers all those details and can pull that out. Like, didn't you say?
It's an employment classic from Bob Mitchell.
That was fun the last time you told it. It was better last time. Right. Went through the whole thing step by step.
Well, he streamlined it this time.
Well, he knows we're up against the clock.
Phil told to get to the point. So
he did.
Right. All right, Dave. Thank you, brother.
All right, guys. Great talking.
Good hearing from you. Let's go to Ronnie from Shelton. Hey, Ronnie.
Hi, good morning, all.
Hi.
Good morning.
You had to do the firing.
I did.
What happened?
So I'm the bad guy.
Or gal.
So this is years ago. We're in nursing. It was during the night shift, and some of the nurses and staff heard a little rustle going on in the little noises in the bathroom down in the basement.
Oh.
So supervisor goes down and sees the two nurses doing the dirty.
Really?
All right, one male, one female, or what's the...
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Not one male, one female.
Right,
so
right.
I get the call in the middle of the night. We had to send the nurses home, and I had to bring them in the next day. Both were totally embarrassed, but I had to fire them both for unprofessional behavior in the workplace.
So you do that once and you're done. One and done.
You get caught once.
Yeah.
And
get caught
once.
That was,
it was pretty unprofessional.
Were they on break?
So no warning?
No. They didn't. That was the other thing. They didn't notify anyone that they were off the floor, and they both worked the same floor.
Well, one was off the floor, but so yeah.
You can't leave the floor.
So left the
can't
patients.
Leave the floor
she left the floor. She was off the floor,
so,
yeah.
So they abandoned the patients, too, right? They left the
Pardon
patients.
Me?
They sort of abandoned the patients, too.
Yeah, the aides were on the floor, but there wasn't a nurse.
And they're supposed to be there. That was bad.
Yeah. And it's bad.
Not good. Not good.
What year was that?
This is about maybe 12 years ago.
Okay. Well,
still bragging about it.
All right. No, it just seems like back in the day, that was okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, don't do that again.
Now,
exactly.
Now we leave the patients alone.
Hey, at least I'm not smoking. I'm not smoking.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm
thank
sure
you.
A lot of people think about it, but you don't want to get caught.
Right. Do it on your own time in your own place.
Exactly right. Right.
Yes. Out of the workplace. Workplace is professional.
All right, Rodney, thank you for checking in. And you're in the running for the Cheap Trick tickets. And thank you for what you do as a nurse. What'd you find out, Phil?
City Board of Education member was arrested after police said he posed as a police officer and attempted to kidnap a Seymour man at gunpoint. It was just a litany of charges. He and his wife were both arrested. And then he had a comment for the paper. The CT Post called him. This is his entire comment. No good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah, they never explained what it was, have they?
No.
What good deed did he think he was performing?
He did not elaborate.
And, yeah. And is there anything in there in the story about his connection to the man in Seymour?
You
don't go and kidnap someone just to...
At a random.
No, why not?
Right.
Yeah.
You get bored one afternoon.
Yeah, so
the holiday
somebody.
Season, you had a little too much to think.
Holiday
yeah.
season.
Like a weird scavenger right. hunt.
Bob Mitchell, great to see you. We're linked up at WPLR.com. AJ's little car buddy, Trenton,
yep.
7 years old, lost his brave battle with cancer, and his family needs our help. On the phone now is Jess O'Brien, a family friend. Hey, Jess.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I forgot how we came in contact with Trenton. Someone told us that he was into cars.
And... Yeah, I was told by a friend that he was into cars and what happened, the diagnosis, and how he only had a certain amount of time to live. And Trenton really loved like supercars, like the really
Ferraris
and, you know, the Bugattis and things like that. And did I know anybody who possibly could show him some of the cars? So
right.
I reached out to Wayne Carini. Wayne Carini said, of course. Went to F40 Motorsports, and Wayne had a bunch of cars outside waiting for Trenton to see. And Trenton just got off chemotherapy, so we kind of like went from chemotherapy right to Wayne's place.
Wow.
Trenton lit up like a Christmas tree when he saw the cars. He sat in every single one of them, and I really had a good time with it. Really,
it's a great thing you did.
What Wayne did, yeah.
And you know what? When you do something like that, I think you get more than Trenton does. You get to see Trenton in that car.
The smile on his face was amazing. Took pictures in all the cars. He sat in every... I didn't even sit in the cars. He sat in the cars.
Yeah. Then we connected him with our buddy in Seymour who does the modifications of those supercars.
The tuning, yeah.
Right. And he did a nice job as well.
Yeah.
And then I heard recently Trenton passed. When did Trenton pass?
Oh, gosh. It was just over a week ago.
Please,
I want to say,
tell
just under
Tim
a week ago, I'm sorry.
And Marissa
yeah.
that our hearts go out to them.
Yes,
I absolutely will. Absolutely, yeah. I'm in touch with them as frequently as I can be. Obviously, I want to be respectful and don't want to bug them too much, but
right.
I do like to check in on from time to time.
That's good, though.
I heard they can use our help.
Yes. So, you know, we started the fundraising initially to just help cover costs for Trenton's care, whether that be medical bills or time off for the family to spend time with him at these appointments. Now the focus has really shifted to not only help cover funeral costs, but really the medical bills. I will say East Haven Funeral Home that they've worked with has really stepped up and helped with some of the costs, but there is still a lot of out-of-pocket expenses as well. So we have the GoFundMe Live, and it's crazy. You know, I started it with just a arbitrary number because there's no telling how much these expenses can build up to. So we're almost at the $50,000 goal. But keeping and again in mind that this has been going on for several months now. So a lot of that money has already been used to help cover Trenton's care and the time off. So now we're really refocusing fundraising efforts.
So when you see that number, don't think that the $50,000 is to cover
we're not good to
funeral.
Go. Exactly.
This has been covering the medical.
Right.
And then now they're still pending medical.
It's going to keep on coming.
$50,000 isn't even there anymore.
No. Yeah, especially the kind of care he got.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's
and
not cheap at all.
And now there's a funeral. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and they shouldn't have to go through this.
No.
No, they pay the price enough, as it is. Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah.
No.
Losing.
No,
and then now there's a financial. It's too much.
Exactly. I mean, everybody's seen the story. It's been in the papers. It's been on Facebook. If you saw the story, even if you just sent a little bit, it all adds up.
That's the
it really
key,
does.
You know.
Right?
We've all seen the story. It was going, horrible. Well, here's a chance to help.
And then you know, GoFundMe, I think, takes 10%. So
unfortunately, probably
it's not a full number there.
Yeah.
Right, and so because of that, I do want to mention in one of my recent updates in the GoFundMe, I did include my email address. I'm happy to connect with folks that may be interested in sending donations through. PayPal, and we've also made arrangements for those that are really preferring to send checks. I've made arrangements for that as well. So my contact information is in one of the most recent GoFundMe updates if anybody has questions on how they can donate outside of that.
That's great, because I'd feel better if every penny went to them and not to some company.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's intended to go.
How are they doing?
They're doing as well as they could.
Right.
I think what is really motivating them at this point is keeping Trenton's memory alive by continuing to discuss DIPG and the need for more research, because it's such an underfunded cancer and the survival rate is below 1%.
Oh.
There is no survivors of this cancer and it takes away children. This is really a child-centric cancer. So we need to do better at educating and getting funding to help push the research on this cancer to find cures to save our kids.
It sounded to me like it moved pretty fast, too. He battled it for 204 days. That's at least when it was diagnosed.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, they gave him six months to a year to live.
Yeah.
When I got on board,
Oh, man.
It's terrible because the way the tumor grows, you still have, he was still there. His personality was there till the end, but it just takes away the motor functions and the ability to just normal bodily functions, breathe, eat, things like that. So it takes that person away from you, even though they're still there. So when you really think about it, it's terrible. And we need to really do the research to get the cure here.
I feel for these two.
Yeah.
Please tell them. We're thinking of them. We're going to link up at WPLR.com to that GoFundMe. And in the GoFundMe is information for Jess, or you could send a check directly, get all of the money to them.
Exactly.
And there's no donation too small.
Exactly. It all adds up.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And I personally thank everybody that sends donations, whether that be through the GoFundMe or otherwise. And I'm constantly in touch with those that choose to send payments through check or otherwise, confirming when they arrive. So just know that I'm really keeping an eye on this, and we're making sure that every penny gets to the family as quickly as possible. And I just wanted to also mention, too, the town of East Haven has been an incredible ally for Tim and Marissa and Trenton. They've raised so much money and really have been a great support for the family.
That new mayor there is great.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They designated a day just for Trenton. And they celebrated by raising money to wear yellow to recognize the DIPG color scheme. And they raised almost $5,000 just alone in T-shirts
I think Mirko and Mulhern hung out with them too.
Oh,
I saw
really?
A picture of Mirko and Mulhern hanging out with them.
Cool.
Yep, the dynamic duo. Yep.
And then, you know, in the spring and the summer when car shows come back around, I'm sure we could do a car show in his name.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would absolutely. Be incredible.
Right.
The entire family, is including myself, even though I'm not a family member, we're all huge car fans. So it'd be a great memory for Trenton.
All right. Well, we're here. Keep us posted.
Will do.
Really. And we'll link up at WPLR.com. Thank you, Jess.
All right. Great. Thank you, guys. Have
Thank
a great
you.
Day.
You too. Thank you.
Holy crap.
Yeah, the services are Saturday. This Saturday.
I'm guessing at East Haven?
Yes.
All right.
Over the... La.
I remember, you know, young Chess would get a cold, and I just, as a parent, you just want to take the cold.
Yeah.
And just say, I'll take it. You know, I couldn't imagine watching this happen.
Yeah.
And then, oh, now we owe money, you know?
Yeah.
Like we're grieving over here.
Exactly.
And the massive bills, oh, just physically, emotionally.
It's the worst.
Financially.
Yep.
Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, East Haven Memorial Funeral Homes handling on Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay.
That poor kid never.
2:30 to 6 o'clock.
Never got a chance.
He fought, though.
Yeah, he did.
Ugh.
He did.
He sure did.
He was playing, like, video games and stuff, like right to the end.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of him in bed and everything playing with Dad.
Yeah.
And his dad didn't leave his side the last time I checked in.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've had Tim on. Good guy.
Very good guy. Marissa's also awesome.
Yeah. We feel for him.
Yep.
And we're going to link up at WPLR.com. All right. Let's go to Jimmy Copley here and get his reaction to the Rock Hall of Fame inductees. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, thank you. What do you think?
Well, I was very disappointed that Dave Matthews Band didn't make it. I just don't understand it, to tell you the truth. I've actually been in communication with them about it, but
really,
and what's yeah, well, I just was don't understand how Dave Matthews can't make the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It just doesn't compute to me.
How could it be? And I got C and I'm a D. Sorry.
That's your Dave Matthews?
Yes, it is. Yes.
It seems like Twitter and the internet agree with you. Like, people are pissed. And wasn't he the fan favorite?
Yeah, like, what's the point of the fan vote if like, they're not going to take the number one guy?
Well, the fan vote only counts as much as my vote, which is sort of odd when you have a million fans voting for Dave Matthews and you have me voting for Dave Matthews, and they're equal votes. But the first time the fan vote never got in, didn't get in, which was odd. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. And I campaigned for Dave. I spoke to other voters, and I thought he was the number one choice. I thought he was the easy one.
And the other voters that you talked with, they were on the same page?
Yes. Now, admittedly, they're mostly in the live music industry. So, and Dave's major impact has been in the live music industry,
right,
more so than in the record industry. But he sold, you know, tens of millions of records, and he's written some great classic songs, and he's lasted, you know, my first show with him was in 1995, so it's been 25 years of great, great talent and popularity. I'm just, that's the thing that stuck out for me the most, was that Dave didn't make it.
And then let's talk to you about what stuck out to you in terms of who made it.
Like, stunk out.
Which one, when you look at this list, Depeche Mode, T-Rex, Nine Inch Nails, Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Notorious B.I.G., who do you think shouldn't have made it?
Whitney Houston.
Thank you.
And that's because?
She never wrote a song.
Oh.
She didn't break any new barriers. You see, I got in this discussion with the people at the Rock Hall yesterday afternoon, actually.
Right.
And Linda Ronstadt made it, who essentially did not write any songs either.
Right.
We know you don't like her, though.
Although the CNN special really made me appreciate her.
Okay.
Oh, really?
It made me appreciate her. And I understood why she made it now, after watching the CNN special, because she broke a lot of barriers. And she did a lot of different types of music, brought a lot of different... She did the first Standards album, which everybody now does Standards, and she did a Pirates of Penzance, so she did Gilbert and Sullivan. She was a rock star. She was a woman of great breadth and talent. I get that, even though she never wrote a song. And she also helped put the Eagles together. Can't argue with that
yeah,
either.
Yeah, right. Stone Ponies, yep.
Yeah, so I now understand that. But I don't get Whitney Houston. Hmm. She was a very popular artist, but popularity doesn't get you in. She didn't break any barriers. She didn't. I don't get why Whitney Houston made it. I get it why the others made it, although I didn't vote for many of them. I get why they made it for their own reasons. I just don't understand why Whitney made it.
How about T-Rex? Does anyone really care about T-Rex?
No, but the way that I looked at T-Rex is they started the glam rock era. If you really go all the way back, I think they preceded David Bowie. And glam rock was very popular for a long time. And to some degree, Queen came out of glam rock. And Queen's still popular today. And there is still some glam rock out there.
Yeah.
So I sort of get that. I didn't vote for them.
T-Rex was what they would dress up like with the shiny clothes.
The sparkles and the makeup.
And whatnot,
and
yeah.
Makeup.
Things like that. We had him at Dillon Stadium in Hartford one year as a support act. And he, you know, eyeliner and the whole thing. It was glam rock, T-Rex. So I sort of understand that. Although I didn't think they were impactful enough for my vote, I do sort of understand why they got in.
I only know this song. I don't know any other song.
Oh, there's a Jeepster song by
them. Oh,
Jeepster.
Right.
Girl, I'm a Jeepster for your love.
You're right.
Yeah.
We played that here.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, what about...
I don't think that popularity is the reason they got in.
Just the whole glam rock thing that kind of started it.
They were one of those... That's why it was very much for Chicago, because they started the horn rock era, and I was very much for a number of other artists that, you know... That started that type of music. Yes, in my opinion, started the prog rock music.
Right.
And for many years, they didn't get in. And they got in. So I think if you're one of the initiators, one of the founders of a type of rock and roll, that I think you deserve to possibly get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And look, I was only 2-for-5. I had a bad record. Although batting .400 would get me in the Hall of Fame.
Right, see?
Being 2-for-5 is not really good.
I didn't think about T-Rex until you mentioned that. Now that makes sense. You voted for 2. How many votes do you get?
You get 5 votes.
Five. And 2 of yours got in?
2 of mine got in. I didn't have a good year this year.
Oh, wow. Bad odds.
Yeah, well, if you're a baseball player, I did pretty well.
That's
if I get
true.
2 hits out of 5 at bats, I'm doing pretty well.
That's true. Go ahead and look
good
at it.
Point.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, there was an underhand pitch that I missed as far as I'm concerned, and that was Dave Matthews, which we talked about earlier. That's ridiculous.
Right, yeah. So that was one of your votes.
That was one of my votes that didn't get in, yes.
Right.
Okay.
I voted for Pat Benatar, personal vote. She's a wonderful lady. She's great.
I forgot she was up this
she
year.
She deserved to be in.
Yeah.
Way more than Joan Jett.
Yeah, well, I get both of them, but I don't know Joan that well. I know Patty very, very well. She's a wonderful lady, and she wrote some great songs and more hits than Joan Jett did. And I'm not taking anything away from Joan Jett, but...
No, Joan's great.
Yeah, she is, but I just... was very surprised she didn't get in.
Pat Benatar instead of Whitney Houston, definitely.
Right.
Good point.
Yes.
That's a good point. I agree with that.
Yep.
And so I voted for her. I voted for Dave. He didn't get in.
Right.
I voted for Judas Priest. They didn't get in. I don't understand that either.
Seriously.
How Judas Priest doesn't get in.
What's wrong with that?
I think metal has a problem with the Rock Hall, or with voters.
I mean, that is rock.
That's rock, and that. Although I don't believe in that rock concept, which is probably what people will argue with me over. Since they let me in, I now see what's going on. Because 5 years ago, I became a member, and I was a bitcher about the Rock Hall. And they called me up and said, "We'll let you into the hall, into a voting member. Stop bitching about it. You'll have a say." I said, "Okay, fine."
Squeaky with Grant Reese.
And what you were bitching about? Rap artists or.
No, I was bitching about classic rock artists not getting in. I was bitching about Rush, Yes, Moody Blues, Chicago, Deep Purple, all these bands that are unquestionably were ripe to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and 5-6 years ago they weren't in.
Right.
Now, most of them have gotten in since then, which I'm happy to say.
I mean, Jethro Tull's not in. What's up with that?
I agree. Jethro Tull should certainly be in. There is somebody who started, again, a different type of music. You know, I thought the Moody Blues started the orchestral sound. I mean, Ian Anderson live was is amazing.
Yeah.
The flute as the lead instrument
exactly.
in a rock band?
Right.
What's that about?
Trend setting.
Yeah. No question about it. No question about it. Look, I think Marshall Tucker should be in.
Yes.
There's a band that combines country music, rock music, flutes, jams, fiddles. I think Marshall Tucker should be in the Rock and Roll Hall.
Saxophone?
And
you don't normally hear a saxophone in any kind of country music.
Right.
You're right. They're a big band in country music, in country rock. That's rare. I mean, the closest to that is Zac Brown right now.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
So let's see who made it in. Depeche Mode. Did you vote for them?
No, I didn't vote for them. I sort of understand to some degree them getting in. They're that type of music is underrepresented. The Cure, Kraftwerk, that whole genre. I did not vote for them. Again, how do they get in and Dave Matthews doesn't get in?
Nine Inch Nails.
No concept why they're in.
There you go.
I'm with you on that one. Doobie Brothers.
No concept. I voted for them. I thought that they, I'm a big Tom Johnston Doobie Brothers fan. I'm not the biggest Michael McDonald Doobie Brothers fan. To me, they're more adult contemporary when Michael McDonald sings What a Fool Believes. I like listen to music, China Grove, Long Train Running. I'm really into that sound much more. But I think the breadth of their career, the way they changed lead singers and still existed, gives them some opening to getting in. And I did vote for them, but it was a weak vote when I voted for them. They were my fifth vote.
A non-enthusiastic thumbs up.
Yeah, and then I'm going to see them this summer, so if this gets out to them, I probably will not be left backstage.
But you voted yes. That's the headline.
I did vote for them, and if they won by one vote, I'm the reason.
Exactly, see.
Notorious B.I.G.?
Totally should be in, no question in my mind. Really? Here we go. I believe the rock and roll is a big tent. I don't believe it's only for white rockers. I think it's for rock and roll is an attitude, and Biggie had an attitude, and Biggie was one of the founders of hip-hop music. And I can tell you there are people that are at my hip-hop concerts that love rock and roll music too.
Right.
It's just a different genre of music. And they probably should change it to the Music Hall of Fame instead of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
We were saying that this morning. Yep. It's long overdue.
Exactly, yeah.
They probably should change it. They probably just have too much stationery to have to make it stationery up.
We'll go
that
to Kinko's.
Sign. You know how much it'll cost to change that sign?
Yeah. We'll go to Staples. We'll make it easy.
Well, we were saying it could be the Rock Hall of Fame and then subtitle underneath it, right? Like where music is, where all music is honored or something.
That's a great idea. That is a great idea. Because, look, you've got B.B. King in it.
Right.
No question. Everybody, I'm sure, thinks B.B. King should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Sorry, he's not rock. He's blues.
Yep. Right.
But I'm sure everybody thinks B.B. King should be in.
It's true.
Except maybe Don in Long Island. I don't know.
Exactly.
But,
right.
Speaking of Don.
John in Long Island, whatever his name is.
You got Dom, yep.
Jimmy, again, it's an honor to talk to you this morning. I look forward to it every Thursday.
Thank you, Dom. Appreciate it.
Hey, I'm confused. I have 100 questions about the Rock Hall and the voting, but
give
I'll
the
ask
best one.
The simplest one. I'm a fan voter, and I'm online on the 10th of January last week, and I see a pretty good list of five. I see Judas. I see Soundgarden. And I figure it's a wrap. They're in. And the next time I look, they're gone completely. Matthews is gone. I don't understand where that, I'm going to throw another piece of the question in too, where that one vote comes from all of the millions of fans. Yeah. I don't understand where those guys go overnight when the fan vote showed them in. Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, it showed them winning the fan vote, but not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The fan vote gets one vote. Their fan vote's equal to my vote. So
that's what I don't understand. One vote per...
well, remember, you can vote every single day. So it's sort of... Yes. I can't vote every single day. But, you know, if this is open for 2 months, you can vote 60 times.
Nice.
So it is a lot of less.
That skews everything versus our vote, my one vote. I can't vote 60 times.
So I think it was something, a couple of reasons. They get some web traffic, lots of hits, but also they can quiet down the noise of the fans saying, I don't know who's voting for these people, but they don't know what they're doing. So at least we feel like we have some say.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, and anybody that voted for Chaka Khan doesn't deserve a vote. And I'm sure she got votes.
Right.
When the votes are all tallied, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Dom, I have a minute and a half, and I got a bunch of questions here. I'm sorry, brother. Email
That's
me
okay.
and ask Jimmy next
much,
week.
Jimmy. Good talk. Good talk. Thank you, Jimmy.
You got it.
Running.
I feel bad for Dom. So he's been wanting to talk to you for days, and then we set it up, and then we said 8:30, and then now it's all right. Dom, we'll make it up to you. All right. Lots of emails and calls here. Questions for Jimmy. Bon Jovi touring with Bryan Adams. True, false, Pearl Jam coming.
Bryan Adams is touring with Bryan Adams. I mean, Bon Jovi's touring with Bryan Adams. We were hoping to get a Mohegan Sun date. Seems unlikely. Still a small inkling of a chance, but seems unlikely. Pearl Jam is touring in the spring. Did not get a Connecticut date. Fingers crossed to get a fall date, because I think they'll tour again in the fall.
Pearl Jam at MSG?
March 30th.
Was that already announced?
I hope so.
It is now. Ken Hill wants to know about Oysterhead.
I'm not sure Oysterhead is a living, breathing entity at the moment. I believe I heard they might play at Peach Festival, but I don't know that in Wilkes-Barre. But I don't know. You know, it takes a couple of little ingredients to all merge together to play together. So I'm not really sure what's going on with Oysterhead.
And Jim wants to know about Friends of Jimmy.
Friends of Jimmy, we have 59 slots open. It's $325. Just go to friendsofjimmy.com and you will get, if we announce shows, let's say we announce, come up with Dave Matthews. Dave Matthews coming into Connecticut. It will be announced next week what's going on with Dave Matthews. We will be able to offer you tickets to Dave Matthews. And those are going to always hard to get in any other show. So, and we send you an email about the show. You say how many tickets you want. We will send you the tickets. It's
That's
that simple.
Pretty amazing.
Nice.
All right. We're linked up at WPLR.com. Jimmy, thank you. Talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. All right, take bye. It easy.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.